Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the dream business coach, coming to you today from a very dark and stormy Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We're on the shores of Lake Lurline. I was just chatting with my guest Paul, and he said, "You're choppy." I said, "It's so stormy, I don't know what to do." So we're just gonna give it our best shot. If I freeze, don't say, "Hey, Jim, you froze." It'll just have to come back, okay? Yeah. Anyway, I am the founder of the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program, creator of No Hassle Newsletters, and host of Dream Business Radio, the weekly podcast I created over 9 years ago. This is episode 599. My special guest this week is none other than Paul Guyon. Paul, how you doing today?
I'm fabulous. 599. Wow, that's an honor. Took me this long to get on the show.
I know. We've known each other a long time, and I was searching back. Did I have Paul on like several years ago? I couldn't find where I have you on before. So thanks for making time.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Well, good. Hey, this episode is brought to you by the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. My final year leading this group, I am retiring it and retiring myself, mostly retiring at the end of this year. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to grow a more profitable business faster, create multiple streams of revenue, if you want to learn how to charge what you're worth so you can work your dream schedule like I've been doing 3 days a week for almost 8 years, then you want to check out the virtual mastermind called Dream Business Mastermind Coaching Program, led by me at dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. At the end of today's show, I'm going to tell you, get free copies of all of my books, but let me properly introduce Paul and we will come right back. Anyway, Paul Guyon is a seasoned business coach, musician, big drummer. Like, I used to drum in high school. I'm sure he's way better than I am. And a podcast host with over 40 years experience in technology and marketing, which is a very good combination you're about to learn. As the lead machine coach, Paul leverages his extensive background as a former CIO serving the airline and pharmaceutical industries. He guides entrepreneurs in achieving extraordinary results by bridging the gap between desire and implementation. Paul's passion for music extends beyond business as he drums his way through classic rock tunes. Yes, I hear Kansas in the background, while balancing family, faith, and community service. Once again, Mr. Paul Guyon, it's about time we had you on. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for buffering again.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, so you know how long we've known each other? Check out this picture here. Oh, let's see. Where is it? Oh, I got to do this right here.
Oh, yeah.
That is that was the very first Dream Business Academy. I actually called it Stop Waiting Academy, but then I changed the banner. But that was in 2014. So that's like 10 years ago, my friend.
Yeah, 10 years.
There we are. So I've known you a long time. Yeah. That was super fun. And so today we're going to explore folks in the audience that are hearing me and not having me go, good. We're going to show how business owners can maximize growth and efficiency by making smart, budget-friendly tech choices and transforming tech expenses into valuable investments without stretching their budgets. Paul, when I started Dream Business Academy, you were at the first one. In fact, you lent me your microphone and PA system, I think.
Yeah, I did. I think it was your PA, but my microphones.
Yeah, I did buy a PA. At Sam Ash, I think, right? Or Guitar Center. And one of the things I admire about you is the combining the tech part with business growth, but with the overlay of you don't have to spend a gazillion dollars. If you remember, one of the phrases I used to use was how to grow a $1 million business on a shoestring budget. That was my way of saying you don't have to spend a lot of money doing it. Give us just a little bit of a background of your story. Were you always a techie guy? You have entrepreneurial roots, but then I know you do work a job in tech. And so how did all that come together?
Well, it's a good question. I was working in a factory out of high school, an aluminum factory, and had paint all over me because it was a paint factory, and lost that job and due to some unfortunate things. This is in 1981. And my dad said, Paul, you need to get into computers or management or both. And so me being the straight shooter and wanting to shortcut everything, instead of going to college, I went and got a certificate in programming, in IT. And because I thought that would be the shortest way to start getting money in the door, because I lost a really good job. Then my dad had bought the original IBM PC at 160K dual floppy drive. I mean, it was,
oh my gosh,
the IBM PC was about $8,000. But anyway, I used it to create a resume. And, you know, remember the tractor feed papers, the dot matrix
printers? Yes, yes.
With the perforations? Well, I submitted my resume to this computer store, complete with I didn't even tear the perforations off.
Nice.
And so I got the job in sales, and which was kind of interesting. And fast forward a little bit. I started doing some programming, and then I said, hey, my parents are doctors, and really here's an opportunity to go vertical. Let's get into the medical and dental billing systems. Because I've always been interested in enabling technology to be profitable, to help you be more efficient in business. And that's where I started. So my first sale was to my parents. We sold a computer system there, started billing. And, when we went live, I told my dad, he was the one who was he was never proud of me because I was always the black sheep. But I said, hey, Dad, we went live and we're collecting information. We're collecting money. We found unbilled insurance. And so we're good. He said, promise me that you'll take care of Mom. And, wow. And that was the day he died.
So I don't want to cut you off, and I know we're pretty far back, but I want to get to some tips and strategies.
Right.
One of the things, you know, a lot of the people that I work with that listen to this show, that follow me and coach with me, are on the newer side, right? And I know that's kind of your environment you operate in also. What are some of the insights on how business owners can think about their tech needs, you know, when they're starting out? So money might be a little tight, but they definitely want to scale. And, you know, it's just so interesting with, first of all, there's websites building, email strategies, all these different things. And I don't want to limit it to just a couple of things, but it's really the overarching. How does somebody who's starting out a little, maybe perhaps tight in a budget, how do they grow using tech?
Right. Well, the first thing is that a lot of people, the mistakes that they make is they go after the shiny syndrome. They say, I need all these features, but they really haven't taken the time to say, I need to collect payments. I need to have a website that gets leads. I need to have, a blog and social media and some sort of communication ability. And that's really the basics that you need, an internet connection. So you got to look at your requirements first and say, okay, what do I need to deliver on my promise of what it is I'm promising to deliver? And so that leads to smart purchases. There are many things that you can get for free, or you can start up with a free trial and try it out. Make sure that it's going to do the things that you need it to do. But if you don't know what you need it to do, you got to start there. And so collecting leads, having a website, and doesn't have to be a massive website.
Right. In fact, isn't it true today some of the more effective websites are smaller? They used to be like 22 pages with all this different stuff. Nobody takes time to go through all those links, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you really have to have an authority building site. It has to talk about the value that you provide to your clients. Talking about you speaking or about you being on guest editing on podcasts, you become a thought leader by the things that you write about and the things that you share. And that's your platform. So establishing a platform there and then spreading out from there. A lot of people many people say, oh, well, I've got Facebook, so I don't really need a website. Well, you don't own Facebook. You don't own your followers on Facebook. So having a platform, and there's a book called Platform that talks about building your message and building a platform that you control. And so the website is a must. It's non-negotiable.
Yeah. One of the things I learned probably from Dan Kennedy is you want to be operating your business today like you want it to be 5 years or 10 years down the road. In other words, don't say, hey, when I get to a certain point, then I'm going to correct everything. I'll get off like Constant Contact and get a real email programmer. You know, you can't do that because then it never happens. It just gets more cumbersome to pull yourself out of those things. So one of the things I sometimes work with my clients, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, is email marketing is still very powerful. But how many ways you can slice and dice? In other words, just don't say I have 3,000 people on my email list. How many people have purchased from you? How many people have purchased, you know, over a certain dollar amount or purchased a certain category? The more ways you can slice and dice that, right? So having a good email software where when they do opt in from your website. So I'm sure there's a question here somewhere, but email marketing is still quite large. What do you recommend when somebody's starting out as to how to put an opt-in on their page and where should it go? And then how do you communicate? That's a three-parter.
Yeah. Well, I've been using an autoresponder called AWeber since 2005. And it's a really good basic one. It can handle a lot of subscribers. It's got some basic automation and it can, you can actually start with it without your own website. You can actually buy a domain and point it to AWeber because you haven't had time to build it out. It will scale pretty well, but there are others on the market that have come out since 2005. There's many others that that can do a lot more in terms of automation, like you talked about segmentation and integrating with your shopping cart and those kinds of things. Those are really important things. AWeber is a good place to start. ConvertKit is another really good place to start.
I've heard that one lately a lot. Is that new, Paul?
It's been around for quite a while, and there are some really, really heavy-duty players like Neil Patel. He's using ConvertKit. Now, he doesn't use their landing pages, though. He does that on his own website, and he's got he's got everything he needs to do it because their landing page ability is a little slight. Okay. But those are some things that you can start with.
Okay, I want to ask you a little bit down the road
there
about email.
Also some all-in-one platforms that are out there, like HubSpot and HighLevel and Keep, which have email and website and capture and calendaring and all those things built into it, which I think people should look at, especially if you're going to be looking down the road and say, okay, I know I'm going to be having clients. I'm going to have, I need to have an affiliate program because I'm going to use affiliates to promote my offers. So I need to look at those things to say, what am I going to look at five years down the road. So to answer your question, you might want to scale up a little bit more, and you can get into those platforms like HighLevel and HubSpot, and there's others, I'm sure, that for pretty, $100 a month, so which is, that's affordable for if you're serious about being in business. That's affordable.
Yeah. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I'd be remiss by not asking when I have an expert here. And, our mutual friend Adam is my tech guy for so long. He keeps me safe. But we recently got hacked really bad. And, he brought me back to life and stuff. But security is such a concern these days. What tips do you have for small business owners who need to secure their whole online presence, on a budget?
Probably getting expert advice is a really good starting point, but protecting your network, doing backups, making sure that that you're very intentional about the procedures and the passwords that you have. Those just can't be ABC123 or Jim Palmer's dreambusinessradio.1.
There you go. Now I'm going to have to change it.
and that's what a lot of people do that. And so you need to have multiple layers of security. Having a VPN is a good idea, especially if you're remoting into things, and you need to secure your cloud. So if you're using Microsoft Office or something, make sure that password is super, super secure. And use a password manager so you can have a 16 character password, and then also have multiple layers like multi-factor authentication. So when you log in, it pings your phone, and you got to say approved, and that's super important.
Hey, Paul, somewhere when I was preparing for this, I may have been on your website, but maybe you had a blog post. I don't recall, but you talked about cultivating a tech savvy culture for your business. What did you mean by that?
Really good question, because have you ever been to on the phone with a customer service rep or at a store trying to make a purchase, and they're going, hold on, the computers.
It's slow today.
Yep. Bear with me today. Oh, I hate IT. I hate technology. Your choices of technology, you need to involve the people that are on your team, especially looking at their requirements, what they need to do their job. You got to give them the right tools to be able to accomplish what they do. And if they're not involved in those decisions and you say, hey, we got a new CRM, you're setting your business up to fail because they're the ones who have to use that thing. And if you've ever heard a salesperson say, oh my gosh, I have to key this into our accounting system now. I've had all this stuff in our CRM and now I got to key it in there. So that just kind of erodes away at your culture when they discover that management doesn't really care about you and the line worker, the people that are on your team. They deliver your service and they're the ones who interact with your clients. Mm-hmm. They're the frontline people and you got to take care of them. And you got to think about that from the beginning, not when you've got 10 people. You've got
one of the things I know that, yeah, Paul, one of the things I know that you do with your clients, and I should play you run a virtual mastermind similar to mine called the Lead Machine Mastermind. I think that's the name. Yeah. And I know one of the things you teach there is about email newsletters, of which a topic I am very well versed. So I'm going to ask these questions for the audience, not myself, but there you go. So email newsletters have been around forever, right? And everybody thinks, well, there goes print mail, which is absolutely not the case. But what are the key elements that make a successful email newsletter? And how often do you prescribe sending one?
Well, I'll start with the first one. You should send it very regularly, consistently on the same day. And you should test to find out what the right day is. You need to know who your customers are, who your listeners are, who your readers are. And doesn't everything in marketing start there?
Yes.
Knowing who your ideal customer is and what their pains are, what their desires are, what entertains them, because you should educate, entertain, and then motivate them. And I think an 80-20 rule of 80% educational and entertainment content, and you know better than this, you've been doing this longer than I have, and 20% of promotion.
Paul, 21 when I wrote my first newsletter.
Yeah, I was probably about that age too, but I didn't do it. I did my rock and roll newsletter building way back in the day before the internet started. But getting back to your question, that consistency is super important. And by the way, email is not dead. Email is the number one channel that promotes it. There are more people who opt in and buy from an email recommendation, from a referral, or from a promotion than on social media. It's like it's a huge, huge difference. I can't quote the number, but for every dollar you spend, I think it's $42. So there's a $42, that's like 4,200% return on investment for every dollar spent on email marketing.
Wow.
So it's not something you should ignore.
So you mentioned you need to know who your customer is because that's going to drive the content, when they should read, et cetera. How do you define your target audience for your email newsletter?
Well, one thing I do is I do market research. Of course, I survey my clients to find out why they purchase from me, where they hang out and why. And today it's gotten a lot easier to do because you can use ChatGPT. You can use AI. I ran into a prompt the other day that said, copy and paste two or three of your testimonials and say, what were these clients, these testimonials, what were they experiencing before they became a Lead Machine member? And it came out with, wow, it was very accurate. It said, wow, this person was struggling with technology. They needed some guidance. This other person didn't want to have a generic solution. They wanted to have something that was customized to them and to their unique needs. And I knew that because I read that they were my people. But that's a really great way to discover what you might not know. Doing surveys is another way. Doing quizzes is a great way. Also being intentional about your lead magnets, people who opt in or don't opt into a particular lead magnet. Well, people aren't interested in that. Either that, or you didn't drive you've the
created,
right people.
You probably created several of those lead. And folks, I just want to tell, in case you're just joining us, I'm in a massive. If you look up Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I'm in all that red and yellow right now, and I keep seeing my internet go down to one bar and come back. So this is a little shoddy, sorry about that. Paul, what the heck was I going? What was I just asking you? Dang it. Anyway,
well, we were talking about customers and knowing your customer.
Right. So how do you by any chance, I know we talked about email segregation early on. Do you segregate your email newsletter, or do you just have one newsletter, email newsletter?
That's a really good question. I have time for one newsletter, but I think it doesn't hurt to have, there's the thunder. Mm-hmm. I think it's not a bad idea to have, but one thing that you can do with a newsletter is you can use dynamic content. So if a person, let's say people are interested in a newsletter and the other people are interested in being a guest on your podcast. Well, you could when you're sending out your regular newsletter, talking about, you might have a personal story in there, and then there's a section of content that might be who's the next guest on the podcast or sign up to be on the podcast, or you might here's a tip for being on a newsletter. So you can actually merge that in real time when you're sending out an email campaign.
I just remembered what I was going to ask you before a squirrel popped into my head and told me to tell him about the storm. So you're the head of the lead machine mastermind. Yes. So what is a good lead magnet, right? I mean, first of all, let's define a lead magnet is something that people opt in and can download or get or something like that. So it's a magnet to capture a lead. What are like the latest and greatest thoughts on what is an effective lead magnet?
Something that solves one and only one specific problem. So it should be a problem that you know that your prospect has that you can solve that gives them value, because they're giving up their contact information. So there has to be a value exchange, and so it needs to be easy and fast to consume. So only a few pages, a checklist is a great one, or some sort of Rolodex or a resource guide would be great. A Rolodex is an awesome one. But they might be only one page. And then when you deliver that, there should be a follow-up sequence to make sure that they consume what they downloaded. Because I don't know how many times you've downloaded a lead magnet and never looked at it once you got it. And then you're getting emails. And your emails need to be related to the lead magnet that you just downloaded before you get the promotions and everything else. And then of course, once someone downloads your newsletter or your lead magnet, there should be some sort of low dollar offer to get them to change that situation, that relationship
within the lead magnet, or something that follows up in a day or two through email.
I like to do it three ways. I like to have something on the thank you page, and let them know that to check their email, the thing will be in there. By the way, this thing would help you do this faster.
Okay.
You can get more out of this if you do this. And maybe it's a $7 thing. And then within the lead magnet, you should have that offer, that same offer that's related. And then in the emails. So in three different places, on the thank you page, in the lead magnet, and in your follow-ups.
I'm a big fan of personalization, Paul, as you know. And so I don't just say, I hope nobody does this, hey, subscriber, hey, friend. It should be their first name, but not just at the top. I'm a big fan of, depending how long the email is, I'm a big fan of repeating it once in the copy and then maybe even in the PS. Like, so PS, hey, Paul, just in case you missed it, blah, 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 blah. So do you agree with that? What are your thoughts on personalization?
I agree with that. I don't always do that, but that's a good point. I think that one mistake that I see time and time again is people say, "Hey, everybody."
Yeah.
When you send an email to your mother, you don't say, "Hey, mom and dad." You say, "Hey, mom." You know, it might be to both of them, but my point is that you don't say, "Hey, everyone," because there's 10,000 people on your list or there's 100 people on your list. You say, "Hey, Jim, thank you for letting me be on the Dream Business Radio Show. I had a great time." You know, that's a one-to-one email, but your mass emails can be very similar. So you're talking direct, you're trying to build a relationship. So that right. personalization goes a long way, and people like to hear their name. And so they like to hear their name. And if you know more about them, maybe you can say, hey, you've been on the list since so-and-so, and I know that you're interested in learning how to sing higher notes. You know, let me tell you about this thing that can help you sing higher and without more effort in as little as 30 yeah. minutes a day. You know that kind of personalization.
Yeah. Sometimes I was talking with Jeff Herring, also in our group here, yeah. pretty good content marketer in his own right. And we were talking about if following up with people that may click through an offer or something like that, says, is it a little weird when people go, hey, I saw you click through. And Jeff came up with a line, or he remembered a line that somebody said, hey, my super sophisticated, you know, email program told me that you looked at the offer. So it's kind of like, in a funny way, I know you were there without saying it. Do you do anything like that?
I don't, you know, it is kind of creepy. It reminds me of the people I work with, a client who they get barraged with people from China wanting to do business with them. And they say, sorry if I'm too forward. Or they say, I see that you clicked on my email. You opened my email. Now let's go to lunch. Let's have coffee. Let's you right. know, get married or whatever. And it's kind of cheesy. So I don't do that.
We got about 3 minutes left. Talk about the significance of subject lines. How does somebody improve open rates on their email? What are some of the strategies you teach?
That's a good one. The subject line sells whether or not they're going to open your email. So if you don't care about that, then don't spend any time on it. Mm-hmm. But I think a subject line should, number one, should not be deceiving, but it should tell them what they're going to get. It shouldn't reveal what they're going to get. It should be blind. It should be an intriguing thing that says, oh, I want to read this. And you should get to it right away once they do open it. I like to use a number of techniques. I use Headline Analyzer. There's Subject Line Analyzer, which are these days AI powered, which can help okay. you with things. I also look at swipe files, what other marketers are doing. And there's tons and tons of formulas out there for if you're standing in the grocery line and you're looking at mm-hmm. looking at the publications that are there. Some of them are esteemed, some are not so. But they spend millions of dollars on those headlines. And so you should be looking at those headlines and say, oh, that would be, I could use that formula, not steal it, but use that formula for my headline. And so headlines and subject lines are very tightly, they're the same thing, really.
Right.
Another thing about subject lines is they shouldn't be more than, I think, 50 characters, because they show up in your inbox. They need to be readable. If they're cut off, if the punchline is cut off,
yeah,
then they're not going to be open. So it needs to be near the front.
So I'm not going to ask you to spell it, but is there a URL, web or a headline analyzer? Like, you can go there and put in your headline, it'll tell you what it thinks.
Yeah, it's called Opt-in Monster Headline Analyzer. So if you
Opt-in
if you,
Monster,
yeah, Opt-in Monster Headline Analyzer. That's optinmonster.com/headline-analyzer. I think is what it is. I think that's the URL.
That's something you should have shared earlier in the show. I'm glad I asked you about that. That's a hell of a tip right there.
Yeah, that is. It gives you a score, and it gives you a score, and you can iterate through it. You can say these. It needs more emotional words. It needs more unique words. There's a bunch of little things you can do with it.
In case anybody is bad at spelling, or maybe they're driving and didn't write it down, maybe after this is done, you could just put a comment in where this is appearing on Facebook and share that link. That'd be really cool. We only got 1 minute, but I'm going to go one more minute long, just cause I want to ask you one more question. There used to be this whole discussion, Paul, about email newsletters. Is it just text? Are they HTML with colors, pictures, and everything else? Or do you send both? What's your recommendation?
Well, most autoresponders will actually have a text version and an HTML version. Okay. I use HTML. I use images, but not too many of them. I certainly don't use an entire. I don't use some retailers use an all image one, and you know, a lot of times you got your images turned off for someone you don't know.
Yes,
you'll never see it. But a lot of times the autoresponder will send a text version and an HTML version, depending on who's reading it. So that dictates that. But I kind of do use both. And a lot of marketers do use both.
Well, my mistake is not having you on the program until my last couple months here. It was a great interview. You say you've shared some really great stuff, Paul. I know people want to connect with you. I mentioned the Lead Machine Mastermind, but what website how do you want them to reach out to you?
Well, they can go to www.leadmachinegrowthshow.com/LinkedIn, and they can check me out on LinkedIn. We'll connect. And if you have some tech questions, or if you want to talk about marketing or about faith or about drumming and music, we can talk about that and connect.
And that's quite long as well. So when you go in and comment after we go off air here, put that link in there also, because when I do show notes and stuff, I'm not writing it down. So I'll have to copy from what you're doing there. So I want to make sure this is going to go up on my YouTube channel and things like that. So anyway, hey, Mr. Guyon, it's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on Dream Business Radio. Thank you, sir.
Honor is mine. Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with Mr. Paul Guyon, which is a cool combination of tech and marketing. It's really pretty cool. Anyway, you can connect with him at the website that he gave you. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com. It's far easier to remember. And again, if you're interested in joining me and about 22 other very smart entrepreneurs in the Dream Business Mastermind for another 6 months or so, go to dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. This episode will live in infamy on my YouTube channel starting tomorrow morning. Oh, I told you can get free copies of all of my Dream Business books in digital format. They're Kindle books at Amazon, totally free, no opt-in, no nothing. Just go get the education. Barnes & Noble are Nook books, and they're also in the iBook store, but that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I am Captain Jim Palmer.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.